Today I want to talk about the last part of Jesus's prayer that he prays before they go to the Garden of Gethsemane and before Jesus is arrested and crucified on the next day. I want you to listen to this part of the prayer, and I want you to just let it soak into you deeply. Listen to these words that come from John chapter 17, starting in the 20th verse. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. In them and you in me, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as I have loved you. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. My prayer is not for them alone, Jesus says. I pray for those who believe in me through their message. I really just sat with that verse for a long time this week. Just that one verse. Because here's what I want you to understand. Jesus prays aloud for us. Jesus prays aloud for us. Listen to these words again. My prayer is not for them alone, and he's speaking about his disciples. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message. You know, I could just stop right here. Because we really need to get a hold of that. Jesus prayed aloud for you. In front of his disciples, Jesus prayed for you. To me, that's an overwhelming thought. We think about Jesus being with the disciples, about praying for them, about praying for his ministry, about praying for everything that's going on, about praying for what he's getting ready to walk through, about praying for so many people and healing people and raising people from the dead. We think about all those things. But Jesus prays aloud for us. In one of his last recorded prayers, he is praying for you. And in this prayer, Jesus' greatest desire is for all Christians to act together in a loving community. Jesus' greatest desire is for all Christians to act together in a loving community. Community. And I want to stop just for a moment. Love is not just a feeling. Love is not just a feeling. It's not that Jesus prays for us to have good feelings about everybody within the community of God. Love is also an action. Love requires that we do something in response to that feeling. If I just loved my wife and never did anything for her, I think I know how that marriage relationship would go. If it was just a feeling and it never went past that. And you see, that's what Jesus is praying for. He's praying that not only will we have feelings for other people in the community, but that we will do things for them. And sometimes that means walking with them. Sometimes that means walking with them through the very darkest of places. Sometimes that means walking over the highest of ridges and the highest of moments. But you see, it's not just a feeling, it's an action. And Jesus says that by this action, this is how people will know God sent Jesus. This is how people know that God sent Jesus, and then they will understand God's love. When we have not only the feeling of love, but when we have the action of love, people then come to understand that that's why Jesus was sent. You see, God was broken by the pure fact that our relationship with God was broken because of sin. And God said, I will do something about this to restore and repair and renew this relationship. I will do something about it. And God sent Jesus. And by doing that, also people come to know the very love of God and come to understand the depths of it. You see, it wasn't just a feeling that God had for us. God acted on that feeling. God reached out with that feeling to build a relationship again, to restore a relationship. And you see, when we love one another in community, then people will understand. And they will know. They will know why God sent Jesus. And they will come to understand God's love in a very, very deep way. I remember hearing somebody say at one point in time, if you ever feel like God doesn't love me today, then you need to stop and stare at the life of Jesus Christ. You need to stop and look at the life of Jesus Christ. When you are down and out and you don't think you can make it anymore, you need to stop and look at the life of Jesus Christ and you need to say, no, God solved it right there. God loves me. And I am important to God. Because there in the life of Jesus Christ, God said, I love you this much. I love you this much. You see, God does care. And God is concerned. So that David could even say, and I love the way that David says it. He says, even though I walk through the darkest of the valleys, even though I walk through the place that is not death, but it is the shadow of death, even though I walk through that place, God, I know that you love me and that you're there taking care of me, watching over me, helping me, encouraging me, lifting me up, even in those places. And David goes on even further to say in Psalm 23, he says, God, you love me so much that you set a table, a wonderful banquet that I can sit down and eat with the very bestest of my enemies. I mean, look at that. How many of you are willing to sit down at a feast with your enemies? With the people that you don't like? The people that you would care not to be near? And David says, God, you even prepare a banquet for me in the presence of these people. that I can sit down and enjoy a meal. God, because you love me. And you see, when we show that kind of love to other people, that's when they start to get it. What does the church have that the rest of the world doesn't have? That the world so desperately needs? By the way, it's not a new program. It's not new rules for life. It's not new understandings about how you should live and this is the choices you should make. What the church has is love. Is that not what this church, this world needs? And when Christians can't get together in love, the world takes notice and says, why should we be part of that? I want to let you know the understanding that I have. We as a church are not in competition with any other church. And we were not meant to be. God calls each and every church, I believe, to be different. And each and every church has an outreach opportunity, I think, in different ways. Some churches do it with this program or with that program or in a different way, in a different night. Some churches don't meet on Sundays. And yet they reach out with the love of God to people that need to know God's love. Tony Brooks, one of the field strategists for Virginia Baptist, has recommended to people over and over again, Sunday school is not just for Sunday morning. It can be done any day of the week. There's some people that can't meet on Sunday morning because of their work schedule. Why not have a Bible study for them on Saturday night when they can meet? Why not have it on Tuesday morning when they can meet? You see, we need to be reaching out with God's love. And we need to be cooperating with other churches, no matter what their denomination is. I just happen to be Baptist. You want to know why I happen to be Baptist? It's not because I was raised Baptist, and you guys know that I wasn't raised Baptist. I happen to be Baptist because that was a church that was fairly close to our home in Norfolk. They had a preschool, and we had a year-old son that we thought we were going to put in preschool. So we went to the church that had a preschool. By the way, our son never went in preschool. I don't know how that worked out. That was the main reason we were going there. That's the only reason I'm Baptist. Well, not the only reason. I've come to understand who Baptists are supposed to be and how we're supposed to grow and act in this world. But I also come to understand that I'm not the only church in the world. That there are Christians in every denomination. And that I need to be in cooperation with them. So that when I find another church that does this area of ministry really, really well, then let me recommend them to the people that are looking specifically for that thing. Because I'm not in competition with them. It's about loving them. And as we love one another and support and encourage one another, then the people in the world see that and look at what it says. It says they come to understand why God sent Jesus. And they come to understand how much God loves them. When they see us walk together hand in hand, supporting and encouraging one another. I mean, some of the folks in the other churches around here, I joke them and tease them that maybe one day they'll be Baptist. But you know what? They're just as close to God as I am. And they need encouragement and they need loving so that we can support one another and get this message of Jesus Christ out to this community that is hurting. This community that needs love. This community that has poor examples of love. You see, folks, we need to be about loving one another. That's the very first thing that Jesus prays for. Love for one another and our community is the goal. Love for one another and our community is the goal. We've talked about here at this church that one of the things that we do is we support other Christians and to encourage them to grow in their spiritual journey. And the other thing that we're about is to reach out to this community to bring other people into the community of God. The very underlying, if I were to restate that, the very underlining thing is that we love one another and that we love our neighbors, whoever they might be, whatever stage of life they're in, whatever culture they come from, however they look or act, however they dress, it's about loving them. I've told you before, 1981, you wouldn't have hired me to be your pastor. I'm pretty confident of that fact. Some of you would say, look at that long-haired hippie dude. He needs to get his life straight. Yes, I was able to grow hair one time. Okay? For those of you that really wonder about that. Some of you would have said, no, he'll never amount to anything. And here I stand as your pastor now. Because somebody reached out to me with love. Because somebody showed me love, I came to understand the love of God. I came to understand the incredible depth of the love of God. And I come to understand it more and more each and every day. You see, the goal of everything that we do should be love. So that I'm willing to say this statement very boldly. If our programs, projects, and interactions with others does not show love, then it needs to change. If our programs, projects, and interactions with others does not show love, then it needs to change. And if that love is not for one another and for the community, it needs to change. If we're not reaching out into this community with that love, it needs to change. That's what God has us here for. It's not just about supporting and encouraging one another. It's not just about what I can get out of the spiritual life. God has left me here to encourage other Christians and to reach out to other people so that they can become Christians with the love of God. And if we do anything in the church that does not support that, then it needs to go away. It needs to go away if it's not loving one another and loving this community. It's not about what we do to make ourselves feel good. It's about what we do to reach out to this community so they can come to know Jesus Christ. And as I look around, we've got plenty of room in the pews for that. And I encouraged you earlier this year, if each and every person here would work on reaching just one person over this next year, one, no more, we would double the size of the people sitting here today. Instead of 80 people sitting here today, there'd be 160. Are you willing to invest the time in loving one person so that they can come to understand why Jesus came and how much God loves them? If you're not doing that, your priorities need to change. I'm willing to say that. If you're not doing that, your priorities need to change. You see, Jesus prayed aloud for us that we might love other people. And by loving them, showing them how to come into the kingdom of God. That's why Jesus died for us. It's not just about us. It's about reaching out into this community. So I just want to give you a question to think about. How can we change what we do to show love better? How can we change what we do to show love better? If this is what Jesus prayed for us for, how can we do it better than we're doing it now? I'm not willing to say we're not doing it, but I'm willing to say, how can we do it better? Let's kick it up a notch. Let's kick it up two or three notches. Let's go overboard and let's let people in this town say, what's going on with that church? They love everybody. And they're reaching out to everybody. Boy, wouldn't that be a wonderful thing for this church to be known for? That we're in every corner of our society reaching out to love folks. Let us pray. Lord, this love doesn't always come natural to us. Each and every one of us has our own preferences for love. We have our own preference for who we're willing to reach out to. And sometimes, Lord, we just don't want to. Because we haven't grown deeply in your ways and haven't truly gathered in the deep understanding of your love for us as an individual. And then for your love as a community. So we pray, Lord, that you would help us to see in the very life that Jesus gave for us an incredible love, an overwhelming love, an awesome love that's not just a feeling, but that has incredible number of actions with it. Lord, help us as we partake of this table, that we may look at this small piece of bread and this small piece of juice as the total incredibleness of what you've done for us. May we see and understand that Jesus' body was broken. May we come to realize that blood was poured out for us. And may we be able to take that same love to somebody else this week. Someone who truly needs it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.